you sent me a quick tease that you had a funny question for me. Is this a question that I need to answer, or should this be a question that we throw out into the ether and see what everybody else has to say first?
We'll throw it out, and I would love to get everybody else's input.
Okay.
So a friend of mine hit me with this. I said, do you think Iron Grenadiers have a better 401k plan / benefits / healthcare than Cobra?
This is the order of battle!
Thanks for joining the Order of Battle podcast for another episode. Joel, Jason, and sometimes A discuss collecting G.I. Joe, other 118 scale action figures, and in general, what sparks joy. It's a lot of things, but almost always toys. This is the Order of Battle podcast.
So when we got home from Winterfest, the Hands Up Sky Striker was here. So he like opened it up and started playing with it. I was watching Joburg play motions. We set up the flag. And I also watched Top Gun and Top Gun Maverick. Those were really good. It just made me be like, I want to play with this stuff and I want to film with this stuff now.
That was 3 weeks ago. And in that time frame, you have recorded, I don't even know, more than 15 hours worth of you playing. And you had two friends that came over, right?
Uh-huh.
M and L both came over. And cumulatively, they were here for about 8-ish hours. How did that impact your storyline? Because you didn't put away your vintage toys and get out classified or modern. You let them play with the O-ring Joes, the flag and everything.
It didn't impact my story as much. I still remembered what I was thinking about. And Miles, like, really wanted to integrate his stuff in because he had brought over some other things. He brought over a McFarlane Space Marine figure.
When you and M were playing, it didn't add to your current storyline? It was, like, a separate storyline?
Well, yeah. But, like, I had already started to, like, plan out and set that storyline up. So we just worked through that one the way he kind of wanted to do it. But then we weren't filming.
But you filmed when L was over.
Yeah. And we still haven't finished that. There's still a lot to go.
Out of everything you've been filming and playing without filming, is there one main storyline or are you doing like multiple storylines right now?
It's a lot of different storylines.
Is there a convergence or are these like different episodes sort of episodic versus serialized?
Probably episodic. But of course, this might end up being a point where everything crosses together. But it'd be kind of hard because like I know every single story except for the one where the Jones were attacking the Terradrome. Flight Suit Scarlet was in it. It'd probably be hard, but new mission, new storyline.
You've taken the new Sky Striker, the HasLab Sky Striker, outside to play. You've incorporated Star Wars vehicles, but not figures, into the game. When it comes to the new HasLab Sky Striker, how does it, in your opinion, compare to the modern, not the 83 or the 89, but the modern Sky Strikers? How does it compare to those?
It's definitely better. The modern Sky Strikers, their canopies are really loose. This Sky Striker, the canopy truly locks in.
Okay.
And, like, it has a separate landing gear. The thing about it is, it doesn't lock in the outward position.
Sure.
It also doesn't lock as well in the forward position, like, inward position as well, but it locks better.
Right. Everybody knows that the landing gear is a little wonky on the new HasLabs, but it hasn't interrupted your play, has it?
No, not really.
Okay. And then how would you compare the new HasLab to the original Sky Striker, the Night Boomer, and the Fun School Sky Striker? You know, the 83 body and build.
It is pretty good. I prefer those parachutes because they're, like, more durable. Though it's really hard to get those backs off and those tabs are really fragile.
you had said that the new HasLab was better than the 83 Sky Striker, I would have kicked you out of this house.
But yeah, the Boomer is still better than... Boomer is still on top for me, though.
Well, yeah, the Boomer is the Boomer.
Yeah.
With the current storylines going on, are they going to stay F-14 based, or will they transition to more of ground bases and vehicles? Or right now, it's Highway to the Danger Zone for you.
It's probably going to stay F-14 based and Conquest based for now.
What about the Ghost Striker or the Night Raven or the Rattler?
Yeah, the Night Raven's been a big antagonist in a lot of my stories. The Night Raven, the Sky Striker, and the Conquest are just some of the best air vehicles. Well, they are the best air vehicles.
I've been kind of quiet because we're at a show. And at the end of this week, we'll celebrate A's half birthday. And then Toylana's in March. So I've been kind of chill. I mean, I have some things to talk about. I have some exciting things. But I haven't been going ham lately. At least not with G.I. Joe. I have with Warhammer. It's a lot. But how's things been on your end?
Well, unfortunately, I have fallen into these circumstances where I have found deals on things that I have deemed foolish to pass up on.
So were you foolish, or has your wallet cried?
Oh, I have cried. I kind of made some, I think I made some light comments in our last episode, or two episodes ago, leading up to Winterfest. I just kept stumbling into deals on club figures through friends, through guys on Instagram. As I've said 1,000 times, it's worn out at this point, but a lot of the convention stuff does not show up all the time. So when it shows up, you know, I got most of this shit for original retail. You know, I don't need anything, but like I need to buy these at this price.
Retail on club figures is
unheard of.
Yeah, I mean, we've had 5 years of inflation.
Even the duds now are expensive.
Right.
After Winterfest, you know, I'm still proud of myself for not going crazy at Winterfest and like coming home with, you know, I was way under budget. I have all sorts of notifications set on Instagram for different people that sell stuff regularly. I should do myself the favor and when I see the notifications, turn them off. But hey, I can't. So a guy posts some club stuff that I like. So he posts a lot of 3 of the club's version of the Saw Viper, which they were paired in with the Night Force box set. Now, these figures don't demand a crazy price on the secondary market. I have never paid more than $40 for one. The 50th anniversary line introduced a Saw Viper. They were different enough, and there is a color difference. People who might have missed the Night Force set are like, well, I can get a Saw Viper through the 50th, so I don't need the club's version, you know? I, on the other hand, like both figures a lot, so, you know, whatever. I'm foolish, dumb, whatever you want to call it. I've got the collector's bug. So he posted them right in the wheelhouse of what I wanted to spend. And I said, you know what? I'm going to let them sit. I'm at work. I'm just going to stop. I'm going to really think about this because, you know, I saw it within seconds of this guy posting it. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to let it breathe. Then he posted some Steel Brigade zombies. I love that year of the club. And I love that figure. They are kind of all over the place. Sometimes they're way too much. A lot of the times they're like fair. These were in the fair range. So it was 3 Saw Vipers and 2 Steel Brigade zombies. And I looked at them and I, you know, did the math and did the shipping and all that. And I was like, I'm just going to chill. I'm going to let it ride. I'm going to let it ride. And I waited about 5 hours and I was grocery shopping. I'm talking about these figures and Nicole's like, well, I mean, those seem like great deals. And, you know, if you're this like hyper focused on it, and, I mean, she's familiar with both of these figures.
And she's an enabler, sure.
And then, oddly enough, I guess I should give a thank you to Greg. I messaged Greg. We were talking about some other stuff. And I go, man, the universe is tempting me. This guy is selling some club army builders at like a really great price. And I don't need them, but I want them. And he's like, well, point them in my direction. And I said, well, let me decide first. Immediately bought them all. So while the guy was packaging up the stuff, he found a 3rd Zombie Steel Brigade, which completes the set because they were sold as a 3-pack. So I wound up with 3 Saw Vipers, 3 Zombie Vipers. And then I have another thing, but I'll let you get into something so it's not just me monologuing about modern figures for an hour.
You can monologue about modern figures all day long. I don't have much to give there, but I do find it interesting. When we were coming back from Winterfest, I'm in conversations with a buddy, a little bit of trade, a little bit of money, a little bit of luck and circumstance. And I received the light blue version of the unreleased anti-venom roadblock. A nice loose one that goes along with my Midnight Chinese, the unproduced red shirt, and then the two test shots. You know, it fits right there with my nice little fun roadblock focus. It makes me very happy. Because I'm slow, I still haven't mailed out my side of things, but I'm supposed to be getting a package tomorrow that will give me the perfect box size to mail it out this week.
I love that you've slowly but surely been slightly pulling yourself into the like pre-production, unproduced world. Specifically for Roadblock, I think that's...
Only on the cheap end.
Oh, well...
And only for Roadblock.
I know, but it's still like... It's a very fun thing. It's a very dangerous thing. Yeah, it's funny because you sent the photo. I did not recognize it. And not that I recognize everything from, you know, 82 to 94, but specifically with Roadblock, I was like, this has to be something weird or unique. You know, there's no explanation to what this is. And then, of course, obviously, within seconds, it's discussed.
So there is a dark blue version as well. I do not have a lead on that, but...
So this was set in... This is a middle years figure?
Yeah, it's 2004 was the Anti-Venom six-pack.
That kind of harps back to, you know, there were some pretty cool ideas in the middle years that just were not executed or executed well. And I do wish that some of those ideas and themes would get like a better chance, whether it was in a good comic or whether it was in... The club did a couple here and there. Like, they did Guillotine, and he's a super cool figure. And he was a fun one because when he got announced, like, a large portion of the people buying the FSS stuff at that time were like, well, what the hell is this? I mean, the figure looks great, but... And I, you know, I did my research, and I was excited just because he was a cool-looking figure, but...
Yeah, I have that one. That was part of the FSS that I was receiving, so I have Guillotine.
Like, he's like... A weird, like, leader of an eel unit or something, but the eels are kind of like Iron Grenadier-y. I don't know.
It's one of the few moderns that I do have. But speaking of, you picked up the club figures. I get a light blue anti-venom. At the same time, Renegade Games did their thing. Did you pre-order any of their stuff?
I have not. I went in on the very first offering with the exclusive Dawn card.
You've never even opened it or played it, have you?
I opened it and looked at some of the cards, but I don't have... Like, I would need to sit down with somebody who is into these type of games. I have a difficult time reading, like, complex game rules and, like, translating it into play. And then, like, it's usually just Nicole and I. So there's a lot of setup and a lot of learning. You know, I just... It's hard to do when it's... You know, I do wish that we were in driving range so I could come over and play these games.
Well, and that's why I asked, because, you know, I pre-ordered all of it. Some of it was simply because it's Sergeant Slaughter and A is a Slaughterhead. Others of it is because, you know, I like miniatures. But then the G.I. Joe Transformers crossover I bought because I genuinely enjoy the G.I. Joe deck building game. So I have all three that are out right now, the main set and the two expansions, Serpentor and Cold Snap. And I haven't played Cold Snap, but I've played the Serpentor expansion, which is very fun. It adds in Red Ninjas. Was it Red Ninjas or Night Creepers? Anyways, it adds in Ninjas. It adds in the 83 headquarters. It's a lot of fun to play. From your end, you can play it solo, and you can play it with two players. Most of the time that I play it, it's A and I. I introduced it to a buddy who is a couple years older than us and did not mess with G.I. Joe as a kid. So he knows G.I. Joe is in like Snake Eyes because everyone knows Snake Eyes, right? We played the deck building game. He's bought it. He plays it on his own and with his family. He's recommended to others. So even if you're not a Joe person, from a deck building game perspective that is cooperative, not competitive, it has legs outside of us.
to me, that's, I'm not a huge board game or card game guy. So that's enough for me to understand this is a solid game. Of course, I pre-ordered all of it and I'm excited for it. And once it shows up, I know it's going to convince me that I should go back and buy the Transformers side of the deck building series. Because that's what crossovers do, right? That's the whole purpose of a crossover. Which Transformers has the main game and one expansion, maybe two. I'm not 100%. I just wasn't sure if you jumped in on it. I absolutely did. And then I was very glad that Hasbro pushed their classified stuff from Valentine's Day into March. So it gives me a little bit of breathing room. And then, of course, after Renegade hit and while Hasbro was rescheduling, Mezco did their thing. Did you pick up any Mezco?
No. Luckily, I think I don't know what they dropped in the 1/12 scale.
They did. They showed us a full body Firefly. Last year, they showed us the head of Firefly. So last year was a teaser. This year was a reveal. But I don't think the order went up. But then again, I still don't have Roadblock. I still don't have Destro. I don't have Snake Eyes.
I don't know that anything, I don't think they put anything up that is even in our wheelhouse.
There was, but we've been slowing down on the Gomez and on the Skulls. So there was, but we have not been picking it up.
Well, then, yes, the easy answer to that is no, I didn't buy anything. I am, going to pre-order Firefly whenever the pre-order does drop.
I will do the same.
I mean, I have grabbed the last couple of weird Rumble Society things they did. They did the Snakehead guy. They did the Spooky Owl guy.
See, I skipped both of those, and it was hard, man. I wanted both of those, but I skipped them.
I came close to skipping the Owl. The Snakehead guy I knew was a must for me. I really like those weird. There's like a giraffe head, a rat head.
Oh, no, I loved it. It was just another simple black outfit. I don't know. It could have been Snake Eyes or one of the Skulls or Operator Gomez. And so I just, it wasn't different enough. And legitimately right now, all of my Mezco is just in a box. Like I don't even have it displayed at the moment. I'm struggling with the love of it.
I will say that despite what I just said of buying those two, I have decided that, truly have decided that I'm only going to purchase that sub-team. But besides G.I. Joe, the Rumble Society stuff that ties in with this Adventure Team-esque. And I do intend on going through my boxes of stuff from the move and picking out all the Mezco stuff that doesn't fit into that and probably selling everything, even if I just break even, is fine. I think I'm just... I got too hot to trot on it.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, we've talked about this before, so I don't need to go too far on it. It's just they're an expensive toy line. The stuff is insane. The quality is beautiful. I can confidently tell anybody I talk to that I have never been let down when I open a Mezco figure. There's not been a single release that I've got where I've been like, damn, this was not worth the money.
True. Very true.
And that's saying something because I am honestly way more critical than I talk about on here. I want to say this as while I'm saying that I'm essentially bowing out of 90% of Mezco, the quality is fantastic. And I have never been disappointed, even because the first Gomez I bought, I paid eBay prices for. It was one of the most expensive figures I've ever bought in my life. It was just like a retail therapy thing in a crazy time. And I was like, you know what? I work really hard. I'm having a bad time. I want this figure. You and I were really hyped about the drop, and I didn't realize that when they do the drops for Rumble Society, you have to click the logo. So I was clicking the homepage, and it was taking me to the wrong spot. And then by the time I figured it out, I had thought my card was saved and all this stuff. And there was like a weird card glitch, and it didn't save my card numbers. And then by the time I was able to re-enter it, he was gone. When I did end up getting him, I was like genuinely impressed. And That is the little flavor of Mezco that I will be collecting outside of G.I. Joe. Everything else, unfortunately, is not getting purchased.
I'm not done with Mezco. Not by a long shot. G.I. Joe Mezco, if they would ever start to ship, I'm down to continue because I know the quality is going to be great. And then there are certain aspects of the Gomez and the Rumble Society stuff that I'm still very interested in. I've just pump brakes a bit because I'm trying to be a little more intentional.
Well, I guess I'll jump in, even though I've been rambling a bit. I had an insane thing happen. So I went to Columbus last weekend for a show and to hang out with a friend.
Ohio, South Carolina?
Ohio. And I've given a shout out to this store before, but there's a store in Cleveland called Applejack's Toys. The guy who owns and operates that was the main G.I. Joe guy at Big Fun, rest in peace. He opened up his own shop, and I think we went in there shortly after he opened, and he was selling off a lot of his modern stuff, and it's generally has a good amount of G.I. Joe stuff. I figured he might have a couple modern things here and there. I might leave with some stuff, maybe not, and I thought this was going to be more of a record-heavy trip, because one of my favorite record stores is in Columbus. So we stop at the store, and I walk back to where the Joe section is, and I about have a heart attack. Because in the glass case, I see 3 convention box sets. The Slaughter's Marauders box set, which you have. There was the Tiger Force vs. Iron Grenadiers and the Battle Force 2000.
So 1 out of 3 awesome?
Yes. the Slaughter's Marauders one is in the front. And I see the price on it and I'm like, okay, that's what it was at Joe Fest. It was an appropriate secondary market price point, which everything at the store was priced super fair. It was cheaper than eBay, and you're obviously not paying shipping. So I get one of the workers over, and I was like, hey, can I, you know, look at these? And I pull all 3 out, and I know right off the hand that, you know, unless these were at legitimate retail price on Slaughter's Marauders and the Battle Force 2000, I'm not interested in those sets, period.
Sure, of course.
But I look at the Tiger Force set. And the price sticker is incredible. Legitimately, at this point, I start physically sweating. It's always the uncomfortable thing when you go into a toy store that has stuff locked in cases because they're not going to walk away, and rightfully so. Like, I'm just going to look at this stuff really quick. And she's like, hey, take your time. Like, you know, don't rush on my behalf. And I was like, you know, I understand. So I pull the lid off. All the figures are there. I pull the foam tray out. All the accessories are sealed. All the file cards are there. But, you know, I do the thing where I match everything up because I'm, like, going to play ball here. This is significantly less than I've seen the bag set go for. And this has the box and the pin. Doesn't have the paperwork, which is fine. So, I go through everything and I tell the person working, I'm like, I'm probably going to get this. So I was like, but put it back. I'm going to look around the rest of the store. I was like, it's a big purchase. And I immediately go on eBay and I'm looking. I have the entire G.I. Joe team except for Dial Tone, which I had once before and sold. And I have everybody from the Cobra side in various levels. Like 2 of the figures I didn't have complete. I love the Undertow and the Iron Anvils. They're 2 of my favorite club troop builders. I'm looking at the prices and I'm thinking, like, am I crazy? Like, did the price drop on these or something? It had been so long since one had been sold on eBay that there was not any examples of sold bagged sets or boxed sets.
Oh, wow.
I have the money to buy it. I just wasn't intending on spending that much money on this trip. We're looking around the store. Somebody had traded in pretty much the entire first run of Eagle Force figures from the Kickstarter. Everything. And they were behind a glass case, not because they were marked for anything more than the original price, but just because they were out of peg space because the store was loaded. So I have to get her again. And she opens up the case, and they're just literally falling everywhere. Sitting right next to those were what I believe was the entire first run of the Zombie Lab figures, all at retail price. I didn't know if I was dreaming.
So you are in a triple dilemma.
If the box sets weren't there, I probably would have bought $250 worth of Eagle Force figures. Because they were all $25 a piece. I would have bought all the troopers. I would have bought a handful of the named characters that are long gone. I probably would have steered clear from the Zombie Lab stuff because there was a lot of QC issues on those, even though I did recently just get one from Big Bad Toy Store. So I ended up pulling the trigger on the Tiger Force box set. It was crazy. It really was a wild moment to make that purchase. But I was like, I'm going to kick myself in the ass if I don't buy it at this price. And I mean, I have already listed the duplicates on eBay. I wanted the box. I want the entire Cobra side of Troop Builders. I'm going to keep Dial Tone this time around. And a couple of the other Tiger Force figures that I really like. But yeah, I listed 4 of the box set so far. you know, it's like any other club thing. They're not like flying off the shelves, but they will sell. Anytime I've listed club stuff, it might take 2 or 3 weeks, but eventually they go. And I'm looking forward to making a little bit of this money back. But yeah, it was kind of just a surreal moment because you normally don't stumble into convention stuff at random toy shops. Yeah, it was such a whirlwind of a moment because I was like, this is not supposed to be here.
I haven't walked into a shop and seen anything like that in a long time.
It's very rare to stumble in and find a decent amount of modern stuff, period. But to find that level of specific and specialty stuff was like, you know, it was just such a great moment in time. And then, of course, we went to my favorite record store and I found a massive stack of records. So it was a very expensive weekend. So enough about that. You got something huge in. I know you've been waiting for...
At Assembly Required in Iowa, John Kukovich brought my book back, my sketchbook. He had had it and he did 2 drawings in it for me. And I think we probably talked about it already, but just as a quick recap, he did sci-fi, 1986 sci-fi. And then in the back of the book, he did the call sign longbow paradox. And these two pieces are incredible. Beautiful, beautiful pieces. He brought it back, you know, because we're physically in the same location. And I didn't intend to bring this home. So on the floor, I sat down with Ron Wagner, talked to him, and he did a headshot of the Baroness, which is very Ron Wagner. It's classic Baroness. It's gorgeous. So we finish up Assembly Required, and on the way out the door, I hand it to Troy McKee, the other half of Callsign Longbow. No rush. I already got a line of people after you. Let's figure out what you want to work on. And he says, oh, I already know. That's the fun of the sketchbook. I didn't even ask. So he sends it back to me, and I have 2 pieces in there. And these 2 pieces are phenomenal. For G.I. Joe, he did the version 2 Astro Viper. And in the background of that is the Invader. We're talking the teal Astro Viper. He's got his rocket launcher on his arm. And the green and bronze Pogo is in the background. It is phenomenal. It's so joyful. And then in the back of the book, he did a call sign longbow character. He did the Steel Web Shock Trooper. And it is awesome in all of its purple samurai teched out. Dude, it's fantastic. I haven't mailed it back out yet. I'll probably take it with me to Toylana just in case there's an artist there that I want a piece from. Since Joe Fest, I've gotten 5 new pieces, and it has not been home since Joe Fest. Actually, it hasn't been home in over a year because it was handed to me at Joe Fest. I'm excited. I'm in love. It's a great time for art. I haven't posted pictures yet because we hadn't had this conversation. So now I'm going to go through and post a bunch of pictures of this incredible art. I'm very excited to get some neon 90s Joe in my sketchbook.
The Astro Viper is the way he did that with, what's it called, the Invader?
Yes.
In the background, like, that captured, in my opinion, everything that we imagined playing with our respective eras of G.I. Joe. The action shot was there. He's holding his outlandish equipment. When you sent me the photos, specifically that one, and I have no nostalgic connection to that, but it just was like, this is in my brain. You know what I mean? I know that, like, I know play patterns I had as a kid, and I, you know, in my brain, I had these things that I envisioned that were clearly not happening in real life. And that drawing is exactly what I saw in my head. You know, obviously, you know, I didn't have that character, but it looked like the toy, you know, it's just...
His drawings definitely looked like the toy a lot more than pretty much anybody else that's drawn in this. John's sci-fi does not look like the toy. John's sci-fi looks, I mean, it looks so phenomenally sci-fi, pun not intended, with a burning his tank in the, you know, in the distance. But this one looks a lot like the toy because he's got that rocket launcher and he's got the Invader in the back, and it's... It's very good. So this, I now have 17 pieces in this book. It's not a lot of pieces, but, you know, most of these pieces took time. And this book has now seen, this book has been from Massachusetts to Oregon. It's been from Minnesota to Florida. It's been to Colorado. It's been to Iowa. It's been to Georgia. It's been to California.
That's seen more states than most people that we know. And that's not a dig at anyone, because I'm just saying, like, it is, it's incredible.
No, it just means it's traveled.
It's because much as I just gushed about that, the artwork that he did for his character in the back.
Yes. Vibrant.
Is the perfect imagination grabber of a card back. Because it's posed like a toy. It looks like a toy. It looks like a card back. It's awesome.
It does. And that's where, again, John's is very real world. You know, John's is like when you really start imagining like how it would be in the world. And Troy's is when you start trying to pose your figure. The juxtaposition between those two and their art styles and their sensibilities, it creates great dynamic. I don't know, man. We got to get them back on just so I can fan a little bit. Operation Recall's just about to end, you know, at the end of this month. And Call Sign Longbow ended last year. RoboSkull's already shipped out their little drones, and they just showed off their O-ring figure prototype. And it's such a great time. It's such a great time to be into the indie O-ring toy market. And to have these two pieces from John and Troy, now I have to find somebody who can do an Operation Recall piece. I guess the obvious choice would be Mark or Ron, which I already have pieces from Mark and Ron in my book. So maybe I can get them to do Operation Recall in the back. But then I also have to find somebody who's willing to do some Skeletron stuff. I don't know if Mark and Ben can draw, maybe get a little stick figure from one of them, but it floors me to have Call Sign Longbow in my Joe book. And putting it in the back just means that they're going to meet in the middle. The shit that inspired all of this ends up meeting shit that was inspired by all of this. You know, this roadblock and this and these pieces of art have quenched the thirst of me army building troops I already have or hunting down 93s. This is really where I'm at with my Joe collection. Instead, we've just been taking advantage of the Sky Strikers and the play patterns, and the flag is built and shit's been going wild. A couple kids have come over and played Vintage Joe with A. You know, an 11-year-old who has a couple Joes from his dad's and knows a little bit, but isn't deep into our world. He came over and played for like 5 or 6 hours. And then another buddy who, he's never touched a Joe before, but he came over and played for 3 hours. It's exciting to see these 11 and 12-year-olds getting down with A, with O-ring, flying Sky Strikers through the house, running behind each other with cameras, filming. And I'm sitting here with my art book and my unreleased figure, just satisfied.
You know, I've made this comment before, but your collection is awesome. And it is no shock to me that when his friends come over and there's jets and helicopters and a fucking aircraft carrier, you know what I mean? It's like, you know, even if the only time that they're interested in action figures is coming to your house, because of course,
I'll take
how
it.
Could you not be when you walk in and there's a crawling vehicle with a space shuttle that, like, it's, you have the world. So it's, I love that. I love hearing that.
It's really fun. And, you know, I appreciate both boys coming over and spending a cumulative 8 hours running G.I. Joe with A. I love it. I don't know. I don't have anything else. That's it.
Let's end it here. Thanks again for spending time with us discussing toys and other geeky things. Our logo was made by Rhino. The music we use was created by Self Help. You can find Joel on Instagram at Order of Battle Pod. Jason is on Twitter at Order of Battle PD. Our email is orderofbattlepod@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. And thank you for your likes, comments, outreaches, and just being here with us.
This has been the Order of Battle.